الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى ان يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى ان يكون خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا انفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالالقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الايمان ومن لم يتب فاولئك هم الظالمون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ان الله لا ينظر الى صوركم ولا الى اموالكم ولكن ينظر الى قلوبكم واعمالكم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين respected علماء الكرام beloved students and elders we had been discussing the rights of the muslim and the duties of one muslim towards the other muslim Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared the Muslims as brothers to each other. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ Verily and undoubtedly the believers are brothers to each other. And if there's any dispute between the believers, between yourselves, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ Then reconcile, settle those disputes amongst them so that these feelings of love and brotherhood can remain. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ And when you're settling the disputes, also fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you may not side with those people that are wrong, that are unjust, those people that are the perpetrators, but you will do justice. When you are reconciling the Muslim brothers also, you will do it on the basis of justice. And this is possible when you have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of accountability in the court of Allah, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being most powerful and ever watchful and fully aware of our actions. And this is the state of the mind, and this is the frame of mind, that it is simple to make justice, and it's simple to bring about reconciliation between the two disputing parties. Otherwise, the person becomes biased and is affected by other factors. So here Allah Ta'ala tells us, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Reconcile between the Muslim brothers and fear Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala so that the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala can come down upon us. One is the constructive actions that were mentioned, the six duties of basic duties of one Muslim towards another. These are all contributing factors to brotherhood and love and understanding and mutual good feeling and goodwill. Then you have the destructive factors. Sometimes we find when something is destructive, just one small thing and the entire structure is gone. For example, this masjid we are sitting in, alhamdulillah, so much effort goes into the foundation, so much effort goes into the building, and the walls, and the plastering, and the beautification, etc., thereafter the finishing. But you find, Allah forbid, if just one matchstick comes and a fire is lit, sometimes one matchstick becomes a means of destroying the entire structure. Sometimes just one flood comes, Allah save us, then you find entire structures, entire towns are destroyed. Sometimes it's a lightning that strikes and it's destroyed. So together with the constructive factors like making salam, and fulfilling the rights of the Muslim, visiting them when they are sick, and participating in their janazah, having goodwill and good feelings in your heart for every Muslim. These are all the constructive factors. Together with that, we should abstain from those things that are destructive, that cause harm, that cause pain and hurt in the heart of the Muslims. So we find in Surah Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verses that I recited before you, Allah ta'ala mentions six factors that are destructive, six factors that can break up this unity, this brotherhood, this understanding, this love that prevails between two Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences in this verse that I recited before you with three instructions for the Muslims, for the social life, and the social etiquettes of the Muslims. First, Allah ta'ala mentions that, O you who believe, do not, the men folk should not mock at others. Do not mock at each other. And perhaps those people that you are mocking at, they are better than you. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا يَسْخَرْ نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ And the woman folk should not mock their woman folk, lest they may be better than you. Here we are prevented from mocking. Why? Because sometimes the person that's mocking the people, the nation that he's mocking, they are perhaps better than him. He is not aware. Normally when a person mocks somebody, he ridicules somebody, he belittles somebody, he scoffs at somebody, and he pokes fun at somebody, then obviously the underlying object either is to belittle that person, to look down upon that person, to think of that person as lowly. That is why you are mocking. You can never mock a person that you have respect and honor for. Normally you know that person is more respectable than me. So sometimes this is the reason, in most cases this becomes the reason, that this person is very lowly, this person has this fault, etc. I am better than him. Sometimes it's because of some enmity, some hatred, some malice a person has in the heart. He begins to mock people, begins to look down upon people and ridicule people. So here Allah Ta'ala tells us that for no matter what the reason is, we have no right of mocking any nation or no mocking any people. Why? Because perhaps they are better than us. And being better, we are not the ones to make the decision whether I am better or that person is better. This is solely the prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the muamla of every person is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being better and not being better is not because of our outward appearance or because of our acceptance or because of our prominence or because of our outward piety or because of our knowledge and acceptance. No. It is based on taqwa and piety, and this is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who has more piety, who is more closer to Allah ta'ala, who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most. That is why we make decisions, Allah forgive, we make decisions with outward appearances. Person's look sometime, person's wealth sometime, person standing in society sometime, we are influenced by that and we regard him to be very honorable and acceptable. But the real criteria and standard for acceptance in the court of Allah is the inner qualities, is the taqwa, is the fear and love a person has for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when this is concealed, then nobody can decisively and categorically make a decision regarding any person that I am better than this person, or this person is despised and we look down upon that person. That is why Allah ta'ala tells us here that that person perhaps will be better than you. The hadith Rasulullah ﷺ tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your looks, nor does he look at your wealth. Your looks do not count, your wealth does not count. وَلَكِنْ يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your hearts and looks at your actions. Looks at your heart, what amount of piety you have, love for Allah, fear of Allah, ta'alluq with Allah, and your actions, how sincere and pure your actions, how much they conform to the Sharia. This is the criteria. That is why irrespective of who it can be, no matter where that person, the background of that person is, what his color is, what his language is, if his amal are correct and his niyat are correct and his love for Allah is correct, then he's accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to mocking and belittling people and poking fun at them, then sometimes we feel that this is just restricted to our words. When we talk some words where you ridicule a person, no. Allah Makurtubi Rahmatul Aliyah draws our attention that this has a very wide connotation and the implications are very far-reaching and very wide. Sometimes without words, a person mocks the next person, sometimes he ridicules him, pokes fun at him with his tongue, and he speaks derogatory remarks and denigrates that person and insults that person. Sometimes mocking is done in this manner. And sometimes mocking is done by imitating that person and mimicking that person, following, doing like he is doing. Doing so mockingly. You are doing this action because that person has done it, and you are mocking that person. You are not saying any words, but you are imitating him and mimicking him and following his way mockingly, looking down upon that person to belittle that person. Sometimes it's done in this manner. Sometimes it's done by pointing fingers to that person. You're pointing fingers to that person and you are mocking that person. Sometimes it's by laughing at the person. You are laughing at the person's habits, maybe at his dressing, maybe at his language, maybe at the difference, the way of walking, maybe the way of eating, or some different thing you found, something different in him, and you look down upon him and you begin to laugh at him. And this laugh is done mockingly. We should remember this is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that human being is comes in the dunya in one way, is created in one way, and the composition of his body is one in the same. But we find there's so much differences in the people, in their language, in their color, in their way, in their eating, in their preferences, in their in their mizaj and temperaments, etc. There is a great difference from one man to another. Not only nations, but even people and individuals. Sometimes in one family you find two sons and three sons. They look different, they behave different, their preferences are different. Not to say, what to say about nations. Each nation has some unique characteristics and ways. This does not mean that we should belittle them, mock at them, look down upon them. Some nation has a different way of speaking. Some have different preferences as far as food is concerned. Some have different preferences as far as walking style is concerned, as far as the talking and speech is concerned. So these are differences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. We should marvel at that. Look at the qudrat of Allah. One human being, when he comes from Somalia, is different. When he comes from Bangladesh, is different. When he's a South African, is different. When he's a Pakistani, he's different. Not because we look down upon a person that's from Bangladesh or from Pakistan or from Somalia. No. We should marvel. Look at the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much differences. And yet Allah ta'ala has made us united. And we are one. Brotherhood, we belong to one brotherhood, and innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa, we are brothers, despite the differences. So the differences are not there for us to look down upon the people, to mock at the people. This is very relevant in our current circumstances now, because we have different nations, different people from different countries with different cultures that are coming here. We should not look down upon anyone because of their ways or because of their different cultures, etc. Because we do not know who is better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned that when these verses were revealed, then high-ranking companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amr ibn Shurahbil radiallahu anhu, mentions that if I see a person, imagine what he's saying, if I see a person drinking milk from the udder of a goat directly, in other words, putting his face and mouth there at the udder and drinking the goat, I would not laugh at that person. I would not laugh at that person. Perhaps I may become like that person. Otherwise, I would not mock at that person. I won't ridicule that person because I may become like him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that if I see a dog, I will not even scoff at the dog. I will not even mock at the dog. Why? Lest I may become like him. I may become like a dog. Otherwise, they should be so fearful about not deriding or not belittling or not poking fun at even animals. So here, how can it be justified that we poke fun at our Muslim brothers because of their dressing, because of their language, because of their way of eating, because of their way of speaking, or because they come from a different background, or because they have a different culture? This is not becoming. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with great emphasis in this verse, he addressed the male separately and the female separately, and says the same thing, Asa yakuna khayran minkum, that perhaps the people you are mocking, they are better than you. Then on what grounds will you justify mocking these people? So all actions in all ways, sometimes a person mocks a person because of some impairment, some defect. Sometimes it's physically, sometimes it's with his face, sometimes with his hands, sometimes with some other organ. Then a person begins to mock that person because of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that person in that manner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the full qudrat and power of changing us also like in that form and even worse. So we should take a lesson from those people and not mock that person if he has some impairment or some defect as far as his body is concerned, as far as his looks is concerned, as far as his habits are concerned, etc. So mocking people, this is a destructive, one of those destructive forces. A person can do good, fulfill all the rights of a Muslim, and begin to mock him. Just mock him once, and that's sufficient now. All that love and all that brotherhood and all that understanding and kindness and compassion that was built up because of fulfilling his right is completely destroyed. Why? Because you began to mock a person, and he felt so hurt and injured by this, the ta'alluq that you had with him breaks and snaps completely and sometime forever. So this is one order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. In order, one of the social duties of a mu'min is see that he abstains from mocking people. And as I mentioned, there's no grounds of justification of mocking people. Whatever the reasons may be, are not justified. Whatever the manner may be, is also not justified. So we should refrain from this and also see that our families also, sometimes the children, sometimes the women folk, begin to mock other people because of different reasons of dressing, etc. We should ensure that this does not happen. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the male and the female specifically. Our respected Asasida used to mention that those commands that are specifically directed to male and female, or where they are in details mentioned, then those are very, very important in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah ta'ala mentions them exclusively, specifically for the men also and for the women as well. Some of the opinion that this is done because normally there's no intermingling in Islam between men and women. That is why it does not mean here that men should not mock men, it's permissible for them to mock the woman, and women should not mock the woman, it's permissible for them to mock the men. No. What is meant here, some say, is there's no intermingling in Islam, and normally what happens is the males mock the males because they have separate gatherings. So here, this is indicated here in this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically addresses the men, and thereafter specifically addresses the woman. The second command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us here is do not find faults with your Muslim brothers. Here Allah ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not find faults with yourself. Do not find faults with yourself. Here, the implication is this, that when a person looks for faults in his Muslim brother, then what will happen? Then he will look for faults in you. So here, indirectly, you are finding faults with your own self or your Muslim brothers. You are part of this Muslim ummah, and you are one brotherhood. And finding fault with your Muslim brother is like finding fault with yourselves, because you are one and the same. It's not somebody else that you are finding fault with. You are so close to him, so you should not find any faults with that Muslim brother. And finding faults is something that needs no intelligence, needs no understanding, etc. Everybody begins to look at the weakness of the other and begins to find faults. No. It's a Muslim's duty, especially for another Muslim, to concede his faults. And whoever concedes the fault of a Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will concede his fault tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. Concede his fault in the dunya as well as in the Day of Judgment, when all the human race will be gathered there. Because you conceal the fault of a Muslim in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this so much, and that Muslim is so dear in the sight of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal our faults on the Day of Judgment. Imagine when all the human race will be there, and when that will be, Allah ta'ala save us, the height of embarrassment, the height of humiliation on that day. Allah ta'ala save us when a person is humiliated and his faults are exposed on that day, exposed between one and all, exposed between all the people he knew, all the people that didn't know him, all the people that were dear to him and near to him, all the people that held him in high esteem. And today is the day when his faults are exposed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in lieu of concealing the faults of a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults. And like the mashayikh mentioned, that when a person looks at his own faults, then he will become oblivious and unconcerned about the faults of the other people, and he'll be concerned about rectifying himself. But if a person goes around for a fault-finding mission, then he will find faults in the entire dunya. There'll be nobody that will be perfect, and he will be the only person that will regard to be perfect. Musi Shafi Rahmatullah mentions the saying of one Indian king, Shah Bahadur Shah Zafar, mentions that he says that as long as we are unmindful of our own faults, then we found faults and failings in every person. But as soon as we became aware of our own faults, then we found that everybody around us had no faults. Why? We became concerned about rectifying ourselves. We became concerned about looking at ourselves. That is why the common saying is, when you point fingers at others, then three fingers are pointing towards yourself. Look at yourself, look at the faults that you have yourself, and be concerned about yourself. Sometimes it's like a person who has cancer, and he looks down upon that person that has a flu. Person has cancer, but he looks down upon that person that has the flu. Doesn't make sense. You are extremely sick yourself. You need to remedy yourself. You're looking down upon that person that has just a cold or a common cough. So we should look into ourselves and be concerned about our faults, and concerned about our faults, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our faults. And if you see a fault in the next Muslim brother, then we should conceal that fault. We should conceal that fault and not expose that fault. The person that goes around exposing the fault of his Muslim brothers is mentioned, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose his fault. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes his fault, he will be sitting in the confines of his home, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace that person. Will disgrace that person, and he will not be able to save himself. So here, we should not look for faults in the people around us. If there are faults, we should overlook those faults and conceal those faults when it comes to us. Yes, if there is genuine need to expose those faults, there are some exceptions we can find out from the ulama when a person has to expose those faults. But otherwise, commonly in a society, when we see a shortcoming, a fault, a defect in a person, then we should conceal that and not expose that. Because there can be no person that can claim that to be he is perfect and he has no fault whatsoever. فِيكَ عُيُوبٌ وَلِلنَّاسِ أَعْيُنٌ You also have faults, and the people have eyes. You can see the faults of other people, the people can see your faults as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to conceal the faults of the Muslim ummah. And if there's any shortcoming, especially sin, etc., sometimes we find that certain thing has taken place. Then what happens? It's a weak, it's a defect, it's a deficiency in our Muslim brother. But what happens? We begin to expose it. And sometimes, unconsciously, we take it as part of the news we are giving to somebody. Certain person did something. But in reality, we are exposing that person. We are exposing that person, and this generally stems from pride, that I am better than that person. You like to degrade that person and insult that person and belittle that person in the company of the person you are addressing. You want him to think low about that person and good about you. That is why you expose his faults. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this great malady that is so destructive. When a person comes to know that this person is talking about my weaknesses, then what happens? That love, with understanding, that goodwill that he has in his heart completely is demolished and crushed and broken down, and we find the feelings of enmity and malice come into the heart. The third thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, then do not find fault with yourselves, and similarly do not call each other with nicknames. Those nicknames that are offensive to a person, do not call them with those nicknames. There are some nicknames that are not offensive for a person, but for for identification purposes and for recognition purposes, a person has to mention those nicknames. And there are some nicknames that are there to denigrate a person, to defame a person, to belittle a person. Those nicknames that are offensive to the person, that should not be called. Hazrat Abu Jawira radiallahu anhu mentions that this verse was revealed regarding us. When we had migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, then there were many of us that had many names, two or three names. And those names are primarily put there to denigrate the person, to defame that person, to degrade that person, to belittle that person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not aware of this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes used to unwittingly call us with those names. And he was not aware that these names are primarily put in there, are called there to belittle that person. So he says on that occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed this verse of the Holy Quran, وَنَا تَنَابَزُ بِالْأَلْقَابِ, that do not call each other with nicknames. And as we mentioned, nicknames that are there for offensive purposes. Sometimes the person, he looks at the body and he says, oh, you short person, or you fat person, or you person that is blind, etc., and calls him these names and finding fault with him and to belittle him. And this is offensive to him. And sometimes, as we mentioned, that those names are there because of recognition purposes, in order to recognize that person who is meant, that nickname is there, and normally is not offensive to that person. As Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that what is meant here is when a person commits a sin, and a person thereafter, after he has mended his ways and asked for forgiveness in the court of Allah, this person still addresses him as Ma'azallah, oh you thief, or you drunkard, for example, or you person who takes drugs, or you person that does this, he calls him by those names. This is what he meant here. Don't call them by nicknames. These names that are derogatory, these names that are offensive, these names that will belittle that person, do not do so. Why? Because he mentioned, understand the light of the hadith, the person that does so, he does so that the person perpetrated some sin, and thereafter he amended his ways, he sought forgiveness in the court of Allah, and this person does so, he calls him by those derogatory terms, oh you thief, oh you drunkard, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it upon himself that this person will perpetrate the same sin. He will carry out the same sin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose that person for humiliation and embarrassment in this world and the hereafter. See how serious it is. Sometimes we see a person carrying out a sin. We do not know what happened thereafter. The very next moment that person could have sought the forgiveness of Allah. And like we had mentioned, it just takes a moment, a fraction of a second to get accepted in the court of Allah. Sometimes 70, 80 years of sin, that person cries, his heart is bleeding in front of Allah. In a fraction of a second, he is forgiven. But I call him by that name. I remember that sin of his long after he perpetrated it. The punishment is so severe in the court of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's mentioned in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes upon himself that I also become a victim of that sin. I carry out that sin and then I'm exposed and I'm embarrassed in this dunya and the hereafter. So we should be very careful when we see a person perpetrating an evil. We should just test that evil and that wrong deed and not condone it, obviously, because it's an evil deed. But we should not hate the person, but not belittle the person. Why? Because that person can become cleansed, more purer than me and you and all of us put together when it goes into the state of remorse and regret before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all his sins can be forgiven. So here the third sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and which is very, very destructive, and we find it's become very common in our society, where people call people by names, by nicknames that they detest, sometimes to belittle them, sometimes, especially in public, person calls this person with such a name, that person speaks false, sometimes because he is poor, sometimes because he has no standing in society, and this breaks all that bond that we have of brotherhood and love between ourselves. So these are three sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and there are three more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to abide by this, that we don't mock at anybody, and we ask for forgiveness in the court of Allah if we have mocked somebody. Similarly, we don't find faults with our Muslim brothers. And thirdly, we don't call them by nicknames. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.